This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my sports in one app, like the National Women's Soccer League, included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Humble, proud, and here on a Monday. Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. Come on in, stay a while. Gang's all here. We're fully assembled. Paulie back. Fritzy ready to go. Seton, Marv, and the backroom guys as well. 877-3DP Show. Every Monday, best and worst of the weekend, what you saw that you liked, you didn't like. Good morning if you're watching on Peacock. And if you haven't downloaded the app, please do so, so you can watch us do this instead of just listening and watching, or listening. Now you can listen and watch us do this. Stat of the day brought to you by Panini America, the official trading cards of the Dan Patrick Show. This first hour brought to you by the great folks at Kings Hawaiian. Every Sunday should be a Slider Sunday. Play of the day, poll question, stat of the day, all that forthcoming. The popular Reese Davis, host of ESPN's College Game Day, will join us. And former NFL quarterback Mark Sanchez will stop by as well. Tonight, Chargers at the Jets. Chargers at the Jets. Could you check and see if this is true? The Jets are 3-point underdogs at home against the Chargers? Because I would have thought the new and improved Jets would be favored in this game, Paulie.
I actually got the updated morning line, and the Chargers are giving 3.5 to the Jets.
3.5 now?
Yeah.
3.5. Okay. We'll recap the NFL, college football. Say good morning to our radio affiliates, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio. There's a lot of news that happened over the weekend, obviously, with the games themselves. You had an assistant coach at Michigan fall on the sword for the entire program, but does that make it all go away? Also, USC fires their defensive coordinator. I watched that game, almost that entire game, and you're watching two different teams with USC. That offense is great, averaging over 45 points a game. The defense is terrible. They're giving up just over 34 points a game. That is not a team that can be viable in the college football landscape as far as playing for a championship. Washington is good. USC, they gave up 570 yards, 50 points in that loss. And defensive coordinator Alex Grinch was relieved of his duties. He had been with Lincoln Riley the last two seasons. They allowed 47 points to Utah in the Pac-12 title game, 46 to Tulane in the Cotton Bowl. So it's not like we go, wow, this is a surprise. We knew they were bad, and they got worse. And Caleb Williams isn't going to win the Heisman Trophy because of this. And it's not his fault. If you had an average defense, Caleb Williams is probably still in the Heisman hunt here. But not anymore, as the Trojans have their work cut out for them. And keep this in mind. So you're leaving the Pac-12. You're going to go into the Big Ten. The four of the top five defensive teams are in the Big Ten this year. Michigan, Ohio State, Penn State, and Iowa. Those are the top four defenses, points allowed, in college football. You better play a little defense if you're going into the Big Ten and getting a head start there on firing the defensive coordinator. All righty, Seton, what do you have for us? Poll question-wise, hour one.
Well, we might as well start with our favorite thing to do on Monday mornings. Who had the worst weekend?
Okay.
Lots of big losses. Mm-hmm. Why don't we start with USC? That was a tough one.
you know, tied going into the fourth quarter. And I thought, okay. And I thought USC was going to win this game. I thought, okay, this is the last stand. You win this game. You surprise people. Caleb Williams maybe gets back into the Heisman picture. Now, all of a sudden, Caleb is still great. Lincoln Riley, the luster, the aura has maybe dissipated quite a bit. I don't know if he is as attractive as a head coach in the NFL as he was a month ago. We're like, hey, package deal, Caleb Williams, Lincoln Riley. Probably not the case. What else do you have, Seton?
Well, but I would say I'm not really sure why Lincoln Riley wouldn't still be attractive. I mean, their offense plays well.
True, but as the head coach,
it's not like you're looking at him being like, man, this guy really sucks at defense. Like, yeah, no kidding. That's not what he was hired for.
But if you go into the NFL, you have to play a little defense. You can't. Now, if he's going in as an offensive coordinator, you're going, like, yeah, he's great. You're going in as a head coach. Therefore, that defense, no matter how good you are on offense, defense has to be somewhat competitive, respected.
So that's worse for Lincoln Riley than USC as a whole.
Yeah. But if you're going to lose Caleb Williams now, and you know what the problem is, like you knew what the problem was going into this season. You had skilled position players, you had the returning Heisman Trophy winner, and you're thinking, okay, let's play a little defense. Can we, in the transfer portal, get some good defensive players? Yeah, I think so. You're USC. But when you watch them play, even the last drive by Washington, I think they gave up like a 50-yard run. This is a we-must-stop-you moment. Like, we got to stop you. Oh, damn, he's got 50 yards later. And I'm going, that to me was their season in a microcosm. They can't stop somebody when they had to stop somebody. Yes, Paul.
The Washington running backs had 316 yards against USC at 7.5 yards a carry.
And one of the running backs had over 300 yards. You're going, I don't even know if he's had over 100 yards in a game, but he had 300 yards, I think, in that game. Like, wild. All right, what else do you have, Seton?
Let's see. What else do we have? Oklahoma.
The last game against Oklahoma State before you guys get to go to the SEC. Like, yeah, see you guys later. And then Oklahoma State puts one on them.
I feel like that's actually better for Oklahoma State than it is worse for Oklahoma.
Probably. Mike Gundy can dine out on that one for quite some time. I'm a man!
Which is kind of irritating, actually. That he got the upper hand in that one.
Well, can you imagine every cocktail party he goes to? Man, oh man. Hey, let me tell you again about the Oklahoma game.
Here he comes.
Oh, here comes Gundy with the Oklahoma game. Hey, coach, how are you? Yes. Yeah, what else do we have there?
Let's see. The Bills' perception took a little bit of a hit. That continues to keep on taking a hit.
You know, the Bengals are in last place. But they feel like they could be the team to beat in the AFC, or at least one of them. And to beat Buffalo, you're watching Buffalo, and I'm basically watching Josh Allen. That's about it. And but, you know, the Bengals should have won that game, and they did. But now you're looking at the AFC North is unbelievable. I love the Ravens. I think they are a legitimate Super Bowl contender. And you know, the Browns defense is pretty spectacular. The Steelers defense is pretty spectacular. And then the Bengals, I think the Bengals might be as balanced as any team in that division. But Bengals last night picking up the win and Buffalo. Who did we have on who didn't have Buffalo? Was that Chris Sims that he said he didn't have Buffalo making the playoffs to start this year? Yeah, well. All right. What else do you have, Seton?
Let's see. Man, Panthers. I don't know if it's bad for the Panthers, if it's worse for Bryce Young.
Okay.
The C.J. Stroud comparisons, though, weekly is just brutal.
But it's going to continue.
Man, that's...
It's going to continue. The thing is C.J. Stroud had one of the greatest rookie performances by a quarterback in history, and he does that on the same day as Bryce Young throws a couple of pick sixes.
Yeah.
Wow. Here's C.J. Stroud on wanting the ball at the end to win the game.
A drive, man. It was special, and that's something in this league I'm learning, man. You got to be great 2 minute. And for me, I just want the ball. Just give me the ball, call the play, and I'm going to go make a play. So I'm happy with the win.
Yeah, he was good. He was great. He's had one interception so far this season. And he gives you reason for hope if you're the Texans. Because now, did you find your guy? And if you did, now you start to build around him. Deshaun Watson, they got rid of that smell, and now they're playing competitive football here. Whereas Carolina is boring. You traded up to get Bryce Young, and maybe he still is a franchise quarterback. He's not on the same level as C.J. Stroud. And it's not like you go, well, he's got all those receivers with the Texans. Tell me all those receivers he's got with the Texans. I'll wait. What else, Eden?
I wonder if we did in 3 years from now.
Ooh, the 3 years from now.
3 years from now poll. I'm not giving up on Bryce Young.
No, no, you shouldn't.
And you know what, though? I don't have a root. I want them both to be immensely successful.
All right.
But I feel like we've heard, like, the... I can almost see us saying, man, remember after that one game he put up, like, 500 yards? I thought he was going to be a thing. I thought he was a sure thing, talking about CJ.
Okay.
Don't you feel like people have those moments sometimes as a rookie where you're like, that dude balled out of his mind, whereas Bryce Young struggling his first year but then turns it on his second year? Sometimes what is so obvious and right in front of our face ends up being the opposite.
Well, what happens is the first go-through, sometimes somebody's really good, and then they get tape on you, and now they start to pick up tendencies. They'll see what your habits are. They'll learn your cadence, like all of those things. This is the job of the defensive coordinator, of those all-pro defensive players. Like, what are we seeing? Now we can solve this, or we can prevent this. It feels like C.J. Stroud, they're still learning, trying to figure him out. They figure out every quarterback at some point. Yes.
And even just the sound bite, like, just give me the ball and I'm going to make a play. Those kind of things, you know, 8 weeks into the future, it's like, what happened? I thought you just give me the ball and make me play. Like, sports media does those things. Well, oh, what happened? I thought we just had to give you the ball and then you would make a play.
C.J. Stroud ranks among rookie quarterbacks through the first 8 games. This is where he ranks. So Andrew Luck averaged 300 yards. Cam Newton, just under 300 yards. Justin Herbert, 291. Joe Burrow, 284. C.J. Stroud's at 283. Patrick Mahomes was at 313. But he wasn't a rookie year. That was his second year as the starting quarterback for Kansas City. So he's in some pretty good territory. I mean, those are all successful quarterbacks with Andrew Luck, Cam Newton, Justin Herbert, Joe Burrow, and then C.J. Stroud. Just to be able to have that weapon for a team like that, your head coach, D'Amico Ryans, is a defensive-minded head coach, whereas Frank Reich, and former quarterback with Carolina. So you have an offensive-minded head coach, and Bryce Young has struggled a little bit. I don't think their expectation level was too high for either of these two teams. I don't know what the over-unders were, probably 4 or 5 wins. Well, Texans are going to surpass that. I mean, they're at least a threat in their division. Carolina is not. Yes, Paulie?
Seton was saying, C.J. Stroud, is there any way he could not be great? Like, the way he's looking now, it's hard to picture. The only quarterback I could think of would be Robert Griffin III for Washington. He was the rookie of the year over Andrew Luck. He made the Pro Bowl. He had 3,200 yards, 20 touchdowns, 5 picks, and everyone was on that bandwagon. He never made another Pro Bowl. Now, most of that was due to injury.
But he played dangerously.
Yes.
C.J. Stroud is not that kind of player.
Correct.
And that's the difference between those two. RG3, had he been more cautious, played smarter, didn't take on those hits, could still be playing football. But you play dangerous and your career, you know, Cam Newton was bigger than RG3. He played dangerous. Michael Vick played dangerous. I mean, at some point, they catch you. And if you don't get out of bounds, slide, those things, then that comes back to haunt you. C.J. Stroud seems to be a pocket quarterback and fine with being a pocket quarterback. Yes, Marvin.
Did the Panthers not see C.J. Stroud against Georgia in the college football playoff? That was Vince Young-esque. We would have been talking about him like we talk about Vince Young had they had won that game.
Yeah. That's what I kept coming back to. When Carolina says, hey, we're going to take Bryce Young. And I just kept thinking, okay, did Bryce Young have a game like that C.J. Stroud had in a big moment against Georgia? And that was an NFL defense that he was going against. Yes, Mark.
It feels like Mitch Trubisky and Deshaun Watson. Like, yeah. When they picked Mitch over Deshaun, I was like, did no one see? No. So you guys didn't see Clemson, Alabama. Oh, okay, cool.
I did say that as well. Like, what am I missing on Deshaun Watson? The talent, you know, the quarterback himself. because he did it all there right in front of us. I think sometimes when it's right in front of you, you go, yeah, but how much better is he going to get? Yeah, maybe that's his ceiling. Where, give me that guy that I haven't seen before. You know, I haven't seen this Mitch Trubisky guy. Okay, there he is. All right, 877-3DP-SHOW, email address dp@danpatrick.com, Twitter handle @DPShow. We'll hear from Josh Allen coming up in a little bit, and Patrick Mahomes as well, and Mike McCarthy. And so the Cowboys have a chance. I thought they were going to win the game. They should have won the game. I'm sure we'll hear from Shea and Irving as well. Yes, Paulie?
There's one more name on the poll question of who had the worst weekend.
Okay.
Former Raiders coach Josh McDaniels.
Man, there's a backstory there. We'll talk about that. Antonio Pierce beats his former team and the rejuvenated Raiders. They dominate the Giants. Daniel Jones is going to be gone for probably a year. He might not be back until the beginning of next season. He obviously won't be back this year, but got injured in that game, and that was a tough watch. Tough watch. But I sort of wanted to see what the Raiders do. Like, do they have a spirit of the old Raiders? And that's what Antonio Pierce has tried to install in that team. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk about the end of the Cowboys-Eagles game. We'll hear from Shea and Irving, and we'll come up with other poll questions as well. Take a break. Just getting started on this Monday. Glad you're aboard. Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
We know that quality sleep is essential, and that's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, so you can choose what's right for you and your partner whenever you want. Two beds in one, firmer or softer on each side, you decide. And it helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature as well, quiets their snoring, so you stay sleeping comfortably all night long. Sleep Number does everything. My Sleep Number setting is 75. Sleep Number smart beds learn how you sleep. They provide personalized insights to help you sleep better. You will never need another bed. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
You've probably put this off long enough. It's time to replace your tires. Tire Rack has the tires that will elevate your game. Touring tires for commuting comfort. How about performance tires for sporty handling? All terrain if you're going on and off-road adventuring. Go to TireRack.com and get started. You're not sure where to begin? I suggest the easy-to-use tire decision guide. Get a personalized tire recommendation, the right tires for how and what and where you drive. Choose from the full lineup of Toyo tires. Ship fast and free to a recommended installer near you, or choose the convenience of mobile tire installation. They bring the tires to your home or office and install them on site. Go to TireRack.com/Dan. You'll see the Toyo test results, tire ratings, and consumer reviews. And be sure to check out all the current special offers. Great tires and a great deal. What more could you ask for? That's TireRack.com/Dan. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be. ESPN's Reese Davis, host of ESPN College Game Day in Tuscaloosa with the gang, Saturday for LSU in Alabama. And once again, they'll be on the road with Athens, Georgia, Ole Miss at Georgia. Reese, thanks for joining us. We've been talking about Michigan, but mostly Michigan off the field. And even though J.J. McCarthy's a Heisman candidate, but this really has to do with the sign-stealing scandal. And we talked about Connor Stallions resigned, or maybe was fired, or whatever it is, but he fell on the sword. So does this all go away with Michigan? Everything's good now?
I don't think so, Dan. I mean, you and I have been around this for a long time, and this is how it always goes, right? Now, whether they knew at the upper reaches of the football building that Connor Stallions was doing this, you know, everybody's going to have their own judgment and have conjecture about whether that's true. But this always happens. Whenever you get caught something, there's always some low-level assistant raises his hand. I was acting alone. Nobody knew. We've seen it in basketball. We've seen it in football. I don't think this makes this go away in the least. The real question is, does the Big Ten, you know, implement something in their sportsmanship policy, make Jim sit out for a while? How long is the right amount of time? Who knows? And then beyond that, I think this is something that stays with Michigan the rest of the year.
It feels like what doesn't benefit the Big Ten or Michigan to have him punished this season.
Right.
And hey, Jim, take the month of September off again next year.
That is, Dan, you know, that's the thing. Very few people or institutions particularly act against their own best interest. And punishing Harbaugh does act against the Big Ten's interest. What I have found interesting about this is that the other coaches and ADs have apparently in these meetings have been so adamant about Michigan being punished. The reason that surprises me is that typically coaches may be so angry about something, but they're not doing that because while they might not be stealing signs, there's something they don't want you poking around in their business about. And you're inviting people to come scrutinize you when you become that adamant about punishing someone else. So I've been surprised by that. And that's the only reason I think the Big Ten would act now, because otherwise you're 100% right. It's not in the Big Ten's interest to try to punish a team that might well win the national championship.
How do you explain the market correction with Colorado?
Line play, teams catching up a little bit of wear and tear of the season. And I don't want to diminish what they did because they are so much improved from what they were prior to Deion's arrival. He's done a really good job, even if they don't win another game in terms of improvement. But you go back and look and, you know, TCU is not very good. Nebraska is not very good. And USC can't stop anybody. But, you know, I give Colorado credit because in the past, they still would have lost those games too. So I think it's just part of the building process. And we probably thought he was a little farther along than he was capable of being, than anyone was capable of being with the start they got off to.
Talking to Reese Davis, College Game Day will be in Athens next Saturday, Ole Miss at Georgia, the show live from 9 to 12 Eastern. And also, Reese will be hosting the College Football Playoff Ranking Show, which you can catch tomorrow night, 7 Eastern, on the Mothership. Who's going to be number one this week, in your opinion?
I think it's going to be Georgia, Dan, because Ohio State certainly last week had the best resume, and they probably still do, but I haven't thought that they were the best team yet. And Georgia, good win over a really good Missouri team. I would suspect that there were a number of people on that committee who thought they were the best team already, but needed something, you know, just needed something to validate it. And maybe that win over Missouri will be enough, combined with Ohio State's struggle against, you know, a solid, improving, but certainly not juggernaut Rutgers team. I think we'll put Georgia at number one. But then again, I thought Georgia would be number one last week too, despite Ohio State's better resume.
The fallout at USC, why did it take this long for Lincoln Riley to realize what the problem was?
I think he realized it and just didn't want to whack an assistant coach in the middle of the season, and then it became just an untenable situation. I think Lincoln has to have realized it because they didn't improve at all from last year. Now, they got pressure on the quarterback. They've been up in tackles for loss and sack. That doesn't really matter. If somebody just lines up and hands the ball to somebody and they just run through you continuously, you don't get a chance to get that many sacks. So they didn't show a lot of tangible improvement. It's keeping them from being a championship contender. And I thought the thing that made it imperative to make the move, and maybe it's misleading because we all know little clips of video can be misleading, But Alex Grinch was on the sideline with the defense during the game Saturday night. He's giving instructions, and at the end, he holds his hand up in the middle for everybody to join. Hey, let's go get it. And they all, I mean, I think they all left him hanging, so much so that I felt awful for him.
Yeah.
But that was like, you know what? They're not with you. And I don't know if that had any impact, or probably he has a larger set of data to show that the players just aren't with him and they need a new voice. Alex had a good reputation as a defensive coach at one point. And, you know, I think probably it's one of those things, everybody needs a fresh set of downs. SC needs a new voice. He probably needs a new place.
I know Caleb Williams isn't going to win the Heisman, but he probably showcased his valuable talents even more so this year than last year, because he's had to put up these numbers. They have to score 40 at 45, mm-hmm. but that defense has just let them down. What's your assessment of Williams this year as opposed to last year?
I think that there are areas in which he's improved. I mean, he's got uncanny accuracy. He's obviously an elite athlete. In addition to being fast, he's slippery. Sometimes guys are kind of straight line fast, not quite as slippery. He's both. He's got great size. And, you know, I've thought for a while that, you know, he and Drake May, it sort of depends on your preference and flavors of ice cream, you know, but both are really good athletes. You know, Drake's probably a little more in that Andrew Luck mode, in that he's really fast, but not as slippery, but both are great players. And, you know, I think what Caleb has done to keep his teams in games, because it's, you know, both of them are in similar situations. I think their defenses have let them down in terms of being able to compete for championships. So I think we've got a couple of really, really high-level quarterbacks at the top of the draft. And I think Caleb is probably one of those guys, Dan, that so many off-platform plays, unscripted plays, in addition to being able to function very well within the confines of an offense, I think he's probably the guy that you go, boy, if we pass on him, we're going to regret it. So I think he's going to be, the number one overall pick. And it's disappointing for him that really even in his first year at Oklahoma, they would come close to a championship, but not quite enough a complete team, not quite a complete enough team around him to win a championship.
Is there an atmosphere that made you nervous on College game day?
No, maybe I'm just not a very smart guy from Alabama or something, but it has, you know, nothing has really made me nervous yet, you know, in terms of, you know, feeling insecure in a big crowd or feeling, you know, overwhelmed by the show that you're trying to deliver in front of a crowd. It's sort of exhilarating, you know, so maybe I need to be a little smarter about that, but not really yet.
Is McAfee going to be the villain? Is that his role from now on?
You know, he's just himself, Dan. I've never met anybody like him. He's got such an innate ability to connect with people, and the crowd responds to him in a way that I haven't seen. And in my television career, he just understands how to do it. And, you know, my wife's aunt is 88 years old, right? So she's a loyal watcher of the show, first because she's a college football fan and hopefully because she tolerates me. And when Pat first came along, she didn't have any idea who he was. You know, she's like, who is this? Wow, I don't know if I like him. And now I think that she likes him better than she likes me. I mean, you know, she watches everyone. She loves him. And, you know, so he has an ability to win people over who might doubt, and he's able to connect. And I mean, he's been a fabulous teammate, so I've been happy to have him. But he's not afraid. If he needs to be the villain and it's something he believes, he is not afraid.
Safe travels to Athens. Great to talk to you again, Reese.
All right, Dan. Thanks a lot. All the best to you, my friend.
Reese Davis. He is the host of College Game Day, and they will be in Athens, Georgia. It's Ole Miss at Georgia. Also, the College Football Playoff Rankings show. You can watch that tomorrow night at 7 Eastern. Are we going to have a new team at the top of the rankings? I believe that we will. A couple more phone calls in here. Best and worst of the weekend. Chase in Utah. Hi, Chase. What do you have for me today?
ADP. So second time, long time. I got to start with 8 7/8 inch hands.
Okay.
All right. Sorry, Marv. But I have a best and worst of the weekend for you. My worst of the weekend, my fraudulent Bills. We lose to the Patriots. We're 2 missed pass interference calls away from being 3-6. And last night was a sad loss. My best of the weekend has got to be, I got to shout out the father-in-law of the Eagles. They beat the Cowgirls, and he's a religious listener, so definitely caught some flack for last time I called in. But as always, suck it, Fritzy. Hope you guys have a great week. Thanks for taking my call, Dan.
Okay, Chase. Absolutely. Not sure what Fritzy did this time around.
On a Monday, that's how we're going
to
start?
Sometimes you don't even need a reason to
just
say
existing.
That. Yeah. Just you being you. Aaron in Fort Wayne. Hi, Aaron. What's on your mind today?
Hey, Dan. How you doing today?
Good, Aaron.
My best of the weekend was watching the USC, watching Penix, because he used to play at IU, watching how great he did. And the worst of the weekend was something I really had never seen before. Caleb Williams, after the game, he, like, crawled up into the stands, put his head on his mother's bosom, and they covered his face with a piece of paper, and he cried like a little boy. Never had seen that before, and it just made me think, well,
I'm not going to bang on him for that. I mean, I think it's been an emotional year where he's played his heart out, done everything he can. The defense isn't good, and maybe he just got caught up in the moment. He lost another game. They scored enough points to win the game. It hasn't gone as scripted, trying to win a back-to-back, you know, another Heisman Trophy here. You know, athletes cry a lot. I do. But athletes do cry more than you think. The fact that it was in front of everybody, I certainly understand that. You know, I even read people saying, oh, what's this going to mean for his draft stock? I go, I don't, is this a negative? He cares that much? Like, the guy who doesn't care worries me more than the guy who cares so much. And he loves his mom. I'm okay with that. But you got, oh, this guy, man, he's, I mean, what's going to happen when he gets into a big moment there? I don't know. I guess he'll play pretty well, and he might be emotional if he wins or loses. Yes, Eden?
You guys think that when the dudes are sitting on the bench after having like a massively terrible play or losing the game for the thing, and they put the towel over their head, that's just to hide their face because they're embarrassed?
Mm.
Like 9 times out of 10, it's because they're crying.
I thought it was a strangely great moment for me. I was like, oh my God, like what's happening here? Because I've seen, you know, when athletes, tennis players, they'll win Wimbledon, they go up into the stand. He lost the game and it was at home and his mom was there. Now, people are pointing out, oh, he said all he wanted to do was go home and cuddle with his dogs. Okay. Maybe he was joking. I don't know. Like, we get caught up in all the ancillary stuff where you're going, man, I don't know what this is going to do for his draft stock. How does he do when he's on the field? He makes other people cry going against him. Yeah, Paulie.
It was pretty surprising, though, because a couple weeks ago, the narrative against him, I think it was the Utah game, when his defense is fighting to keep USC in the game, he's on the sidelines with his arms up looking like disengaged.
Yeah.
Now, that was just a quick 4-second shot on TV. Doesn't mean he was disengaged, but that was the narrative a couple weeks ago. And then to see the opposite, I think, struck a lot of people.
Yes, Marv.
What do they want him to do? Like, 1 minute, it's, oh, he doesn't care. Oh, he cares too much. He's crying to his mom. I was like, oh, please, you're serious?
Yeah.
So? He wants to watch the shows with a dog. Okay. What's he supposed to do? I want him to stay out there and keep running routes, you know, have the receivers run routes and all this foolishness. It's dumb.
That's when you stay too long. He had to stay one more year, but you stay too long in college football. We're like, okay. Time for him to move on. I'm thinking, and you don't see these kind of quarterbacks very often. He's special. It's just that defense let that team down. They could have been, you know, they probably have one loss. Yeah, Marv.
And think about the games they did won. They did win. Bunch of shootouts there, too.
Yeah, yeah. You go back to that Colorado game, and you're like, they're holding on for dear life against Colorado. All right, we'll take a break. More phone calls coming up. Mark Sanchez from Fox will join us coming up a little bit later on. Back after this.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Dan Patrick Show weekdays at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
He's Mike Harmon. I'm Dan Byer. We have a brand new fantasy football podcast called I Want Your Flex.
twice a week, every Tuesday and Friday, we come up with new episodes to not only look back at what happened, what you need to do at that minute, and also look ahead of what's coming up in the fantasy football world.
That's right, Dan. Every week we're going to scour the waiver wire to find the pickups to turbo boost your fantasy lineup, sits, starts, fantasy football players' rankings to get you ready to dominate the competition.
Listen to I Want Your Flex with Mike Harmon and me, Dan Beyer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
You've probably put this off long enough. It's time to replace your tires. Tire Rack has the tires that will elevate your game. Touring tires for commuting comfort. How about performance tires for sporty handling? All terrain if you're going on and off-road adventuring. Go to TireRack.com and get started. You're not sure where to begin? I suggest the easy-to-use tire decision guide. Get a personalized tire recommendation, the right tires for how and what and where you drive. Choose from the full lineup of Hankook tires. Ship fast and free to a recommended installer near you, or choose the convenience of mobile tire installation. They bring the tires to your home or office and install them on site. Go to TireRack.com/Dan and see their Hankook test results, tire ratings, and consumer reviews. And be sure to keep an eye out for the current special offers. Great tires and a great deal. What more could you ask for? That's TireRack.com/Dan. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be. If you do the quick math, the less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your products or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep, which is obvious. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So reduce your cost. Reduce the headaches. Smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math and see how you'll profit with NetSuite. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial, management, inventory, HR under one platform. And one source of truth with NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud, so there's no hardware required. And you can access from anywhere. So you cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. And you're improving efficiency by bringing all your major business processes onto one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Right now, backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. So head to netsuite.com/Patrick. netsuite.com/Patrick. Mark Sanchez, Fox NFL analyst, former quarterback. He was on the call, the Giants and the Raiders yesterday in Las Vegas, joining us on the program. What did you expect out of that game going into it?
That was a wild one. Hello. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning,
Danettes. You know, so we get the privilege when you call a game, you go in on a Friday, you watch Friday practice, and then you get to interact with some of the players and the coaches. And there was an energy, a juice around the building. There was something you could feel, and you didn't quite know what it was. So I attributed it to, you know, the changeover and turnover that happened during the week with the head coach, GM, and all that. But you're like, okay, well, how long is this going to last? And what does this actually mean? Because a lot of energy is great, but just – energy going in all different directions that isn't focused on executing on the field doesn't really do it. Not at this level. In college, you can get away with more of that. In high school, for sure, it's all momentum and you figure it out. But at this level, you're like, okay, what's that going to get me? And I figured right after the first quarter, that's where I'm going to see what this Raiders team is all about. And it's still only one game. But this kid, Aiden O'Connell, I mean, they gave him plenty of time. Number one, I think the play sequencing by Bo Hardigree was perfect. I think they still struggled, and nobody said anything. They still struggled getting the ball to Davante Adams. He barely had an impact on the game, if any at all, really. They threw him a couple quick throws or whatever, but he wasn't a major factor. Wink Martindale and the Giants took him completely out of the game. The problem was, you know, they lose Leonard Williams the week before in a trade, and Josh Jacobs went off. I mean, he finally hit the century mark and goes over 100 yards. He ends up taking a loss, so I think he ends up with just shy of 100 yards. But that was by far his best output. At one point, you know, him and Saquon were averaging like 7 yards a carry. I'm like, dude, just snap him the ball. Whatever you got to do, get it to number eight. This guy's, you know, unlocking everything you need in your offense and making it easy, by the way, on your rookie quarterback from Purdue that is making his second start. And in his first start, it was rough. So whatever you got to do, and Bo Hardigree knew it and felt it. And then the defense comes up with two turnovers. Daniel Jones goes down. And then, I mean, the route was on. And it was it breaks your heart for Daniel Jones. But you see this Raider team, and, I mean, you see all the clips from last night. I mean, these guys are, like, smoking cigars in there. Like, they just won the Super Bowl. It's like, whoa. Pump the brakes a little bit. But I can understand. Obviously, that speaks to, you know, this newfound, almost like a weight was lifted off their shoulders. And it's you never like to see it with coaching change and all that. But that's the way it goes, and the guys obviously responded. And how about Antonio Pierce? Like, L.A. guy, you know, just total Raiders Kings. Like, I just picture him in the 80s and 90s growing up with that Raiders starter jacket.
Sure.
You know, like the Compton hat, you know, bumping Dre on his, you know, speakers. Like, that's who he is. And it was, like, perfect for him. And, you know, the post-game interview, like, just yelling Raiders. Like, you could tell. They're just fired up, and they haven't had that excitement in a long time. So it's fun to watch.
If you're the Giants, are you looking at moving on from Daniel Jones?
Well, I think they got to figure out what's going on with the knee. It sounds like ACL. And if that's the case, you know, we're past the deadline. It's like, what are we going to do to try and salvage the season? How soon is Tyrod Taylor back, which is, what, 3 more games? Are we rolling with Tommy DeVito? And then long-term, what's the plan there? So I'm not totally sure on the contract structure. I know, you know, it was a big number. And
I think next year, this year, kind of stuff. Yeah, this year, next year, I think they're locked into that.
So, I mean, I wouldn't be shocked if they, you know, try and build up the team around him, but the team that they're building up around him has to be available. Okay. They haven't had their bookend tackles for a better part of the season, or at least playing together. They've had just as many offensive line combinations show up, quarterbacks in and out. Darren Waller was supposed to show up and help that tight end position. He's been in and out of the lineup. Bellinger, the other tight end from San Diego State, he's been in and out of the lineup. It's like, you know, sure, does Daniel Jones need to protect the ball and not, you know, force it at certain times when everything looks bad? Yes, 100%, and he's owned that. But, I mean, come on, man. You got to help the guy out. Him, Saquon, like, you know, Saquon was going off yesterday too, but you're down 20-something points at halftime. It's hard to run the ball. Yeah. It's hard to just turn around and hand the ball off. There's not enough time. And so, you know, I feel for the guys with the Giants, and the defense is really starting to pick it up these last couple of weeks, generating turnovers and all that. And but once you lose your guy like that, that's makes life tough.
Your alma mater fired the defensive coach, Alex Grinch.
And we're just doom and gloom today, man.
Yeah, I know. But I'm wondering about this, though. You can fire the defensive coordinator. You still have the same talent there. Is this a question of the scheme of the defensive coordinator, or is this about the players that Lincoln Riley brought in?
I mean, I think there's blame to go around just like anything. I think you know, and this is what you sign up for as a coach at this kind of level. You're going to get scrutiny, and if things aren't going right at a program like this, then people are going to want to change. And it's unfortunate. That's the way it works. So is it players? Is it scheme? And that those are some questions that they're going to have to answer. I can see – I mean, we definitely could use some help up front, I think, on both sides. I think that's where our next step will be, in my opinion, is snagging some of those big dudes that end up going to Georgia, that end up going to, Bama, those kind of, big guys. I mean, you got to control the line of scrimmage. And right now, we're getting moved around and not moving enough. So it's difficult. It's hard to play complimentary ball like that when, it's a 50-point shootout every week, and I've never been a part of, not a spread offense like that air raid attack, Mike Leach kind of stuff. But, you're scoring fast. Your defense is on the field a lot. It feels like every game is like 50 to 49. I know a couple of them have been that way. But that's, for me, as an offensive guy, if I was calling the plays, I might have 10 heart attacks every game. I can't. Hey, we got to get a stop, man. We got to get a turnover. We got to do something, but I got to dial up, 100 touchdown passes a year. Good Lord, that's a lot of work. So I just, it's a different style of football, and it's more of this new age style because it's so popular in high school. It's easy to teach, easy to coach, easier to understand for a lot of these players, and that's why the transition period when you get some of these guys from college that go to the NFL, trying to get them to figure out this new league is a little different, but the league changing with it as well. So, gosh, back to this defense. Sorry, that was a long word salad answer. But, yeah, some had to change, and it's unfortunate when it goes down like that. But bottom line is these players got to execute, and you got to put them in the right positions to execute.
Mark Sanchez, Fox NFL analyst. How is C.J. Stroud making it look so easy?
Jeez. This kid looks unbelievable. I'm hoping we get a Houston game coming up. We haven't had much of him, or when you watch games and study for teams, there hasn't been a ton of Houston crossover tape for whatever reason, and it happens that way. But these highlights you're seeing, this is he looks so calm and so comfortable, and they're not asking him to do anything that he's uncomfortable with. They're bringing him along every week, right? And now he's to the point where, you're looking at some of his stat lines, you're like, geez. Guys are chucking it around the yard, man, with a guy who's barely done this. So clearly, he's got the confidence. Clearly, they're bringing him up the right way and educating him along the way and giving him a little more, kind of spoon-feeding him early, let the run game go, some easy completions. He's got veteran guys like Robert Woods. I can't tell you how important those types of players are, especially in the slot. Having Dalton Schultz that they got from Dallas. Sharp kid, Stanford kid, I want to say, but route running ability and giving quarterbacks opportunities to throw to open players. So not every throw is contested. Not every throw has a chance to get tipped, intercepted. Boom, there goes your confidence a little bit. These guys are two of the best route runners in the league. And Robert Woods has been doing it for a long time. Solid veteran guy, obviously USC guy, so I love him. But he can really go. And that helps set your quarterback free. That helps get your quarterback in a rhythm. For me, it was Jericho Cotchery when I was a young pup. And a guy like that, working the middle of the field, understanding leverage and spacing and timing, and always seeming to reveal himself to the quarterback, just show up when you need him. When things break down, where's Jericho? When things break down, like LaDainian Tomlinson, my second year, those guys just know where to be. And that's been a huge help for C.J. Stroud. And then when it's time to make the big throws down the field, he's hit him, So you combine those two, and it's like, dude, this kid's got everything you want.
Best win of the weekend?
I guess the most dominating was probably Baltimore. And we have the Seahawks this week, so I can't wait to watch that game and figure that out. Although, if you're Seattle, you're just kind of like, okay, it's AFC game, and I've used this before on a broadcast, but flush that thing down the toilet like a goldfish in fourth grade. Who cares? Move on. You'll catch them in the Super Bowl if you make it that far. Let's correct some stuff, but we're not playing anybody nearly like Lamar Jackson for the next few weeks. Let's just focus on us. So I think they'll be fine. The Philly-Dallas game, just the end of that game.
Who do you blame, Mark?
Well, it's the whole operation. You don't know. It's hard for me to say because I'm not listening on the headset, but that whole operation, you get down to the 6-yard line, it's like a calamity of errors. They had a penalty, a false start, The sack was, that was a bad sack. Number one, it's a 4-man rush. I understand those are really good pass rushers, But, I mean, Dak barely hit his back foot, got one look at something, and then, boom, he had to move. I'd prefer if he moved up in the pocket. And my only question on that particular play was the week before he hit Ferguson against the Rams down the seam, right down the middle, and threw it on the top shelf, like right on the top of his helmet. In that situation, you have no timeouts. There's like 20-something seconds left. You're running about maybe 3 to 4 plays, depending on how fast you can do it and if you're inbounds or out of bounds, whatever. Incomplete, complete, that matters. But that was a play he showed me, and it's 1st and 10. Now's your time to take a shot. Like, you got a chance. You're just dropping them in the end zone, trying to figure it out. And he had them one-on-one. And in those situations, bottom line, like, if you're C.J. Stroud in a situation like that, it's where's Schultz, where's Woods? If you're Dak, it's where's CeeDee Lamb and where's Ferguson? Those have been your best targets. Get the ball to those guys. Bottom line is, at the end of the game, it's Johnny's and Joe's, not the X's and O's. Find your ballers, get them the ball. That's really what it is. So I think the Eagles winning that game, I thought, was huge for them, and they're just really starting to separate themselves, especially with that Giants loss. They're owning that NFC East, maybe the first repeat chance in I don't know how many years. So that'd be huge.
What do you have this weekend?
We go Commanders at Seahawks.
Okay. How many times?
Wait, how about the roughing the passer? Because Vilma was on that call. I'm excited to watch that game. I know it's Commanders-Patriots. But the roughing the passer on Mac Jones?
I watched it, and then Paulie goes, yeah, roughing the passer was called. I go, how? He tried not to land on him.
I'll protect quarterbacks all day long. Okay, you need those guys on the field to score points and make it all work, and I get that. I'm a proponent of that. But come on, man. He didn't even land on him. He barely hit him, knocked him down, and then like did exactly what they said. He rolled off and didn't push off of him on the ground. And I mean, that was as clean as you could see. Vilma was on the call, and I saw one of the clips of it. I think he does an excellent job, though, by the way, for Fox. But I get a good defensive perspective when I hear him. Mark Schlereth, I get a good offensive line perspective, you know. So sometimes when I have those crossover games, I love watching those guys. But Vilma was like, wait a second. And he came from, you know, he's older than me. So he's like that old school, you know, take the quarterback's head off and worry about it later. So that was bad.
They should let these quarterbacks today watch highlights from the 60s and 70s and understand what roughing the passer was. Because this...
Well, remember wasn't it a segment on ESPN, like you got jacked up or whatever it was?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Those were like, you know, punt returners and guys catching like a little bubble screen and just flattening them. I mean, they got hammered. And so, I don't know. That's,
I think it's called You Got Fined. That's the new segment on ESPN. You got fined for that.
With the little meter and how much money.
How much it's going to cost you there. Hey,
we're on to something here.
Yeah.
This is good.
Yeah. Safe travels. Play nice with Pete Carroll.
I appreciate you, buddy. Always.
You wouldn't criticize.
Don't start anything. Why are you always?
I don't know. I didn't mean to. I just thought, you know what? Are you going to be overly nice to Pete on the broadcast as opposed to have somebody read into it?
No, I've gotten on him before with some of the silly penalty. Week one with DK Metcalf and the silly penalty he had towards the end of the game. I said that's not a Coach Carroll deal. He's going to be upset about that. They got to take a good look in the mirror, and they can't do that. They can't afford whatever. So I've been critical of him. You know, you got to play it straight. Can't have favorites. I'm always, you know, to a fault, rooting for the quarterbacks and rooting for the offense. But I do appreciate good defensive plays and good coaching and stuff. So
what's the
commitment?
What's the commitment to the hair? What are we going with?
You know, I'm not 100% totally sure. Maybe it's our next poll question, and then we just decide what the new hairdo is. Shave it, go mohawk, nice high top fade, dark Caesar. Like, where are we going with it?
What does your wife want?
She's down with it. She's
cool. She is? Little flip, she little curl? It would look good if you're playing now out of the helmet. Coming out of the back of your helmet? Yeah, okay.
That'd be good.
Yeah.
I saw Wink Martindale before the game. He goes, hey, look at that flow. You got the Tennessee mud flap back there. Nice.
Mud flap. Nice.
I never heard that.
Your mullet. Safe travels. Good to talk to you as always. Thanks for joining us.
Appreciate it, guys. We'll talk soon.
That's Mark Sanchez. former NFL quarterback, now working for Fox. He's got Seattle and the Commanders. All right, let's take a break. Last call for phone calls, what we learn, what's in store tomorrow, right after this.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today? Brakes? We can save you 15% on that. We have OE quality Duralast brake pads and rotors in stock, ready for pickup or delivery. We also have calipers, brake fluid, tools, and anything else you'll need to do the job right. When you get Duralast pads and rotors together, you'll save 15%. It's just part of what makes us America's number one brakes destination.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.